Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
There is a very weird thing that is happening to me and to parents all over the country about this time of year, every year. So it occurred to me yesterday as I was walking around the campus of a school I have never considered allegiance to, that I may be contributing a sizable portion, a sizable percentage of my salary to said school in the near future.
Welcome to the club.
No, I'm telling you, man. So yesterday we did a college visit with my son, Chase, who is 17, a junior in high school, and he's trying to figure out where he wants to go to school. So we're trying to bop around a little bit. Chase has been lucky in that he has been able to accompany me at times on my college game day trips to see some of these campuses, to see some of these programs, you know, and get a feel for what college life is sort of like in some of these other places. But right now, we've hunkered down. Like, we're in, like, okay, serious mode, Gabe. We went to Madison last week, did the whole campus tour. And yesterday, we were at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana.
Here, it's lovely this time of year.
It was lovely.
Oh, really? I was just making a joke.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea. Get off the highway.
Because Indiana kind of stinks as a state, well, in general.
Yeah. We were laughing as we were passing through. We were like, oh, future home of the Bears. You know, like, welcome to Indiana. But we did, I mean, there's, you get off the highway, and there's this five-mile stretch along the river, canopied trees. I said to Chase, I said, this is going to be gorgeous in the fall, too, right, with all the colors and whatnot. And campus is stunning. Like, it's beautiful. It's a contained campus, unlike some of the other ones that are sort of immersed in a city, if you will. And Chase is interested in engineering, so we saw the engineering facilities, and they are top-notch, top of the line. It's one of the top programs in the country. And it occurred to me that, like, I may be, within the next year of my life, pledging my allegiance to the Boilermakers. The hell, man?
Are you really pledging your allegiance? Do you feel like you have to? I mean, financially, you're supporting the institution. But does that mean that you're going to be walking around in Purdue gear?
Let's ask Chew. Chew?
For 4 years.
Yeah.
For 4 years. And then it changes.
The next child?
No, it's okay. And then when your daughters go to another Big Ten school, then that's a lifelong rivalry. My kids fight all the time. When Iowa plays Minnesota, when Iowa plays Michigan State, when, you know.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Chew. Here's the thing. Like, again, you mentioned where your kids went. Michigan State, Iowa, Minnesota. That all seems like a fair fight right now, but your daughter's going to a place where it doesn't feel like the other three are going to be fighting against her because, well, she's just going to dominate. Because she goes to Ohio State.
That's fair.
That's.
But Ohio State's the outlier. Gabe, you can't forget Indiana. Because Indiana, 5 years ago, was caca. Now they're national champs.
Well.
So you never know.
Does Iowa have someone like Mark Cuban? Last time I checked, they don't.
Probably,
and for what it's worth, the Purdue people are very self-aware. They're not trying to sell you on the football program.
Yeah.
Wait, but Drew Brees ain't kicking back any money over there?
Drew Brees' face is on the athletic building.
Should
still
be.
All right?
Should be.
And of course,
well,
I told
hold
Chase,
on, Jen. Yep. Jen, does Chase still have a girlfriend?
He does. Serious girlfriend.
Okay. All right. Because the ratio at Purdue is not good.
Ratio.
Men to women.
Teacher to student?
Men to women.
Yeah, I mean, again, any school that's going to focus on engineering, speaking as somebody who went to one of those schools, the ratio is not going to be great. Not going to be great. Luckily for me, okay, being in Platteville, I could just, you know, drive up the road to Madison and go have some fun there.
The gentleman who was conducting our tour yesterday was an engineering student. He's graduating in 2 weeks, and he did want to emphasize that, yes, contrary to popular belief, the engineers at Purdue are aware of sports, and they occasionally attend sporting events. He wanted to make it clear that he has been to every basketball game, and that was the flip.
Basketball team, obviously.
Basketball
very good.
Team has had a lot of success in recent years. But I wanted to ask you guys this morning, as we're talking about our college visit yesterday. How far is too far to drive in a day? Because West Lafayette was 3.5 hours, plus the time change.
Oh, that's nothing.
And back. Yeah,
that's nothing.
Yeah.
No, that's nothing.
That's fine.
Five down and back is kind of my threshold.
Yeah. Fair. I would say about, once you start hitting double digits, total driving time. Yeah.
So to Bloomington then, which I also did 7 times last football season.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I was like, I'm ready to be home when I had about 2 hours left in the drive. Mm-hmm.
The depressing part about that is when you hit the border and you're in Kenosha and you're like, crap.
Got another hour.
still actually not that close, despite being back in the state.
Passing O'Hare and going, hour 25. Okay. Lock in.
3.5 is not bad.
Oh, guys, I'm telling you, I ordinarily would be in agreement with you. Maybe it's that I did Madison last week, and then I went to Notre Dame, which is 3.5 on Tuesday, and then I went, obviously, to the draft, which is, I drove down to O'Hare, flew to Pittsburgh, then did the reverse, then went up to Sheboygan on Saturday for my mom's birthday. I am driven out. I need to just sit for a stretch.
Why didn't you make, it's not like your passenger doesn't have a driver's license. Could have made him drive a little bit.
We took a rental car. So that we didn't put the miles on our car.
None of us have ever broken that rule before. No one ever smokes in a rental car.
No.
Let me tell you, you're not supposed to, so no one does.
But somehow, Chew... About one of every 5 I get somehow has just that hint of cigarette smoke.
Just a touch.
I'm always curious where it comes from, since you're not supposed to smoke it.
What's too far for you, Will?
Like
Will,
the air freshener.
Will the thrill handling the board back there
Speaking
today?
Of can't rent a rental car, Will, how far will you drive?
I'd say 3.5 is my threshold. I mean, that's far. Sometimes I'll drive an hour and I'll be wiped. Like, even if it's like...
Hold on. All right. To any of you, what's the farthest you've driven in one day?
I drove to Iowa City one time. That was
I've done like 12, 13 hours.
Okay, I've done 16.
But
I have to do it by myself.
We drove pretty far. Yeah. I mean, we left in the morning, and then I think we crashed at a hotel, but didn't make the whole thing in one fell swoop. But it was a good, teens drive, if you will.
Yeah.
In a day, what is the threshold for drive time? Because, again, I went 3.5. And, again, ordinarily, I got to be honest with you, 3.5 to me would be like, piece of cake, right? But for some reason yesterday, man, I had 2 hours left in the drive, and I was like, I don't know if I can do this.
When are we getting this high-speed train system that loops around the entire United States? Have you guys seen that?
I've not.
I feel like it's been talked about forever. Like
seen people talk about it.
Yeah. When are we getting that?
I just assumed it was never going to happen.
I'm done driving.
Well, they have it here, which is nice. They have it from Orlando to Miami, and they're tying it in Tampa, Orlando, Miami, which you can get. Because Miami drive from here is 5.5.
Okay.
So I think the train gets you there in like 2.5 or 3.
Yeah, they've talked about a high-speed rail between Milwaukee and Madison for, pretty sure the entirety of my life at this point, with no hints that it's actually ever going to happen. So,
have you guys ever traveled on a train? Like, a long ways?
No.
No. But when I was working in Chicago and I was covering the Bears, the Bears beat reporter for CSN Chicago, his name was Moon Mullen. Great guy.
It's a hell of a name, too.
I know. It was a great game. John Moon Mullen. And he refused to fly. So he's covering the Bears. He trained everywhere. Or he drove, right? Mm-hmm. You can basically drive the NFC North. That's not difficult.
Yeah.
but he would train everywhere else. And so he would leave several days in advance and then sit on the train. And like, I was always like, all right, I'll see you when I see you. I'm going to hop on this plane here and I'll catch you in, you know, Foxborough or whatever it was, wherever the Bears were playing on any given weekend. Which
That's
was-
too bad, because if the Bears didn't suck, he could probably hitch a ride with John Madden, who does all the good games.
Yeah.
Jump on the bus.
RIP. Reaction rolling in this morning on the Carbless Talk and Text Line and on the YouTube stream. 9 to 10 hours is the max I have done in a day. That from Captain Matty Ice. Mike weighing in saying 21 hours. I went from Columbus, Georgia to Merrill, Wisconsin. George Ryebread says Deadwood, South Dakota. That's 12 hours straight through the mountains. Altoff says 18 hours between my wife and myself. Okay, so that's a little caveat there.
Splitting up the driving.
Splitting the drive, or if you're doing solo. Chewy, you famously do this when you bring your truck back and forth between Florida and Milwaukee, right?
I do it until I start hallucinating, and then I know it's
time. That could be at any point, pal.
Did you do it until before you start hallucinating?
Well, because, you know, I'd rather drive during the day, so... My thing is, I'll get up, you know, 5 in the morning, still dark, but you're driving majority of sunlight. But when I get to the dark and I'm at like 16 hours, I start seeing deer on the side of the road that aren't there.
Mm.
And then you start jamming on the brakes, and then it's like...
And that's just not good for anybody.
Okay. Time to get a hotel. So that's my limit. 16 is about...
Do you split? If your wife is coming with you, do you split the driving, or you just...
I don't want to drive with her. I don't. I don't want her in the car.
You don't want her.
I don't want to listen to her music.
Okay.
She sleeps most of the time. I mean, she's fine. It's just easier by yourself. Well, sing to yourself. Talk.
I mean, you're gonna sing to yourself regardless.
I mean, you sing to all of us. Ho ho the mistletoe. You bring up another great point about the old the road trip, which is who's in charge of the music. So yesterday it
was myself, my wife.
Oh, okay. Get right on that. Myself, my son, his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's mom. And I did the driving. So we let the kids handle the aux. Big mistake.
Yeah.
I don't know any of those songs.
Yeah, no, right? You're driving. I mean, again, in that situation, you're driving, Jen. You get the, I mean, when you're driving that far, you got to be in control of that.
And then another one, who controls the AC?
Again, Chew.
I want mine as low as it can go.
Yeah, here's the problem, Chew.
Yeah.
If it's your wife, she's the one who controls it. That's always the answer. If she's the driver and she's the passenger, doesn't matter, she's controlling it.
Gabe, you don't need to put the AC on if you want it at 74 in the car. Correct?
It's correct.
That's just too steamy.
I don't know if that's the AC. That's more heat, pal.
Yeah.
Reaction continuing to roll in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Garrett in the 262 says, I interned at Florida Atlantic University, and I drove from Boca to Chicago straight through. Couldn't quite make it all the way home to Oconomowoc. Oh, now that's a kick in the nuts, right?
But I mean, FAU is down there.
Yeah, Boca.
Yeah, I mean, that is down there. So, I mean, yeah, it stinks that you can make it to Oconomowoc. I'm impressed that he made it all the way to Chicago.
It's incredible.
And then the bladder has another thing to do with it, right? It does. I took the Blammer when my son was coaching at Northern Michigan. That's...
You had to go all the way up to Marquette?
Probably six.
Six, yeah.
11 stops on the way back.
Yikes.
Wow.
11.
That's ridiculous.
Never again. There's a lot of never agains.
Just on the way back?
Yeah.
I think that might be a medical condition. 11 times to stop on a 6-hour drive?
You should have banned him from drinking.
That's
anything.
Every 30 minutes.
Yes, it was.
Approximately.
Every rest stop you saw? Because, well, here's the problem when you go all the way up to Marquette. There's a little stretch there where there's nothing. What, you just let him out, on the side of the road?
Yeah. But the problem now is he sits down. Can't really sit down on the side of the car.
How far is too far to drive in a day? Mark in Watertown says he did 16 and a half hours one day. The thing about the bladder is you got to stop, okay? You got to get gas, right? These cars don't have unlimited mileage, so you go about 350 miles, and then you stop at the gas station. You grab a bag of corn nuts and a Celsius, if you're, you know, hypothetically speaking, and you get back at it.
They still sell corn nuts?
I love corn nuts.
They
Those
do.
Are still a thing?
Yeah. They got them at Walgreens right over there.
Couldn't tell you the last time I saw corn nuts.
All right,
I'll bring you back tomorrow morning. Some of the ranch ones.
Corn nuts for breakfast.
Yeah. Alan weighing in saying, 2 years ago, my brother and I split driving from Rhode Island to Milwaukee with stops for gas and restroom facilities. 1,100 miles was crazy. Would never do it again. Mike in Hattiesburg says, I drove 15 hours from Sheboygan to, you guessed it, Hattiesburg. Yeah, I'm talking about, like, again, I understand, like, the you got to get from point A to point B type of thing. Maybe there's something also psychologically about the turnaround, right?
Turn
there
back.
And back. Yeah. We got there at 10:30 Eastern, had the tour at 11:30. It took 2 hours, went and grabbed some lunch, had the second tour at 2 o'clock. It went until 4, hopped in the car. I think we were home by 7-ish, mm-hmm. because you get the hour back.
You got the hour back.
Trip there. So, mm-hmm. And that might be something I'm doing pretty regularly, guys, because Chase really, really liked being at Purdue. So we'll see. Still a lot of schools to get to, still a lot of places to see. But leader in the clubhouse right now, Purdue University, for my 17-year-old. How far is too far to drive in a day? Let us know, 800-990-3776. We've got Jason Wilde coming up next. Going to talk to him about Micah Parsons. We've also got some Brewers updates. You're going to see some of your favorite faces back out on the diamond pretty soon, like next week. We'll talk about that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
When the game matters, where you play matters even more. At Wisconsin Country Club, you get a championship-level golf experience right here in Milwaukee with nearly a century of tradition behind it. And what really sets the Wisconsin Country Club apart, it's everything beyond the course. Pool days, tennis, pickleball, fitness, great dining. Oh, our new chef, he's just absolutely killing it right now. And the programs your kids are actually going to look forward to. It's not a pieced-together lifestyle. It's all in one place. And as a member myself, I can tell you, it's where I go to play, connect, and spend real time with my family. The Wisconsin Country Club, a better way to experience the game and everything around it. Schedule your private tour today and mention Good Karma for exclusive promotions.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com.
What a value it is to get some insight from our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How you doing today?
A value?
What a value.
I'm a
is.
Bargain?
You're
not.
Nah,
a bargain?
There's great value in you spending time with us three times a week. How's
I mean,
that?
I don't pay you to be here, so you're a bargain to me.
That's very fair. I'm thrilled to be with you, whether I'm too expensive or not. Hopefully I'm never too expensive because I need this job for another 20 years is kind of my plan. So
yeah, you got kids going to college too, you know?
Indeed.
We gotta figure that
this
out.
This is starting to get scary. Yeah, I have nowhere near as much money to pay for the things I need to pay for these people. So yeah, so great value. They'll be going to the local junior college.
Yeah, I told somebody, I said, if you find me on Feet Finder, no, you didn't, right? Like, anyway, Jason, let's talk about Micah Parsons. Why are you giving me that face, Gabe? Not a fan of the Feet Finder? All right, fair enough. All right, I know where you stand now. Will's laughing behind the
glass. Wow, I didn't know that was what, I gotta be honest, I didn't know that was what you said. And
what is it?
Now well, I kind of wish talking, I didn't.
Yeah.
You're talking French. What a Feet Finder? What is that?
let's put two and two together here, big pal. All right? If she's looking to make a little extra cash.
Right.
There's
still got nothing.
Okay, you know, Will can explain it to
you. Oh.
I just told him in his ear.
Rhett Ryan on line two. Rhett Ryan.
The fetish world. The fetish world. Well, mine have
paint.
There we
go.
Mine have paint all over it if anyone wants to take a look at mine.
No, thank you. I've seen enough of your feet in my lifetime, pal.
Okay.
Jason, Micah Parsons claims he is, I guess, right on track. I think that's the way we're to interpret the information, that he just learned how to walk and now he's got to learn how to run. We still expect him to miss the first few games of the season. Is that how you've interpreted the most recent information from Micah Parsons?
Yeah, I mean, Micah Parsons told us himself, leaning on his crutches inside the locker room after they lost to the Bears a couple days earlier, and I have no reason to think that they're going to or want to accelerate the timeline, right? Like, look, when you invest what the Packers have invested, the idea of rushing that valuable of a player back, you know, 3 weeks early or whatever it might be, it's, some might say, laughable. Like, I don't know why you would risk that. You know, I understand he's a competitor. I know that there are probably fans in Dallas and people who cover the Cowboys who would warn me that, hey, this guy's, you know, he's a charmer, he's charismatic, you know, you don't fall under his spell. But like everything in my experience with him and everything I've seen him do on this team, I don't know how you don't love it about him, right? Like, you know, I suppose you could say you don't love him without naming names, kind of calling out Rashawn Gary once in a while, who's no longer on the team. But, like, I would think Chewy would have loved to have had him on his team, because the biggest thing was this guy doesn't cheat his teammates. Like, he is always going 100%, right? And that's one of the things that teammates don't like are when guys are loafing. And I think, you know, his effort level probably made Rashawn Gary look less than stellar at times. But, like, everything else, like the way he talks about his teammates, the way he lifts, you know, guys like LVN up, and he seems to be extremely passionate, and it doesn't come off as phony. So, again, until I'm proven otherwise, all those things are great qualities. But the idea of, okay, now that the possibility of playing is inching closer, it's still, you know, still the month of April right now. But, like, I think you have to make sure you're being smart. And clearly the doctors had told them, look, we're thinking sometime in September if everything goes according to plan, but not in time for the opener. You know, I think that that's a timeline they should stick with, in the best interest of everyone, long term, and not sacrifice the long term for the short term.
Jason, do you believe that two positions, this is the offensive line group they're going to camp with, and this is the quarterback group they're going to camp with?
I do. You know, you get the, well, we don't rule anything out and we'll still be looking and all that other stuff. But, like, basically, somebody asked Goody and LaFleur, two different people I think asked it, but essentially the question was, you know, does it change things when you know who your starting five are on the offensive line? And LaFleur, I know, answered in the affirmative. So, yeah, it's Morgan, Banks, Ryan. The one place where I think maybe there'd be some competition would be right guard with Belton. And then, obviously, Zach Tom. I think that's the five. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody that you look at and you're like, oh, this guy could definitely challenge. I mean, who knows what the Jagger bomb is going to be, because he's a fifth-round pick, and so was Jacob Monk, but also so was Corey Linsley, right? So who knows what we have there? But I would argue that, yes, that is definitely the case. And look, I got some pushback from my story on Desmond Ridder, and I'm not saying that he's going to be Malik Willis 2.0. I'm saying that they are hoping, and they're going to try and give him every opportunity to be Malik Willis 2.0. And he actually has more experience and more success than Malik Willis did when the Packers got him. So that doesn't mean that, look, I think Gabe made this point to me, and I agree with him. I'm not sitting here going, okay, this guy's going to be, $30 million quarterback for somebody else in 2 years. But I do think it's possible that he could be a good option as a backup. He played in the same system with Arthur Smith, if you recall, who became the Falcons head coach and had been the guy who replaced LaFleur in Tennessee as the offensive coordinator. The Packers clearly intentionally brought him on board on New Year's Eve last year onto the practice squad first, didn't sacrifice him by putting him in the unenviable position where Clayton Tune was in that game against Minnesota, playing with the seventh graders against their varsity. And they have him now in the entire offseason program. We'll have him for an entire training camp. Like, this is a guy who has been on five teams since Atlanta gave up on him. But they've all been like these kind of scattershot opportunities. Now it's legit, right? He's going to have a chance to be in the system and all. That doesn't mean he's going to be great. I wouldn't stake, talk about trying to save money for college. I'm not putting my salary on him being the backup, but I think they're trying to set it up so he will be the backup, put it that
way. But don't you think one of the things that made Malik Willis successful is he had a completely different skill set than Jordan Love? You know, where
again, couldn't agree with him more.
LaFleur's like, all right, I can do different things here. I'm just going to outsmart the other team, which he did. Ritter's kind of the same. I don't know. Yes, I just think they're kind of being a little
I would say this.
Proactive.
I would say Malik Willis, you're right, but I think Malik Willis threw the football a hell of a lot better than anybody thought he could.
I agree.
And yes, he's not just some running dude that occasionally threw it. Like, that's what he was when he only had a couple weeks in the system. But, like, again, I go back to that throw in Chicago where in the game where Love gets the concussion and where they have the press boxes, which is the world's worst location for a variety of reasons. But on this particular throw, it could not have been more perfect because I am in a straight line behind Jordan Love as Jordan Love is throwing that touchdown pass to behind Malik Willis as he's throwing that touchdown pass to Romeo Doubs. And, like, that was a big boy throw. That was not a, hey, pretty good throw for a guy who runs a lot. That was an unbelievable throw.
Jason, I do have a follow-up here for Desmond Ridder, but first I want to ask, who was a bigger sacrificial lamb, Clayton Tune last year in Week 18 or Jarrett Boykin in the opener in 2014?
That's a pretty deep cut, and I love it.
Okay, all right.
For those who aren't getting that, the Packers were so afraid of
Richard Sherman
in that 2014 opener, which, again, is another reason why that loss in the NFC Championship game is, in my opinion, on par with, if not worse than, 4th and 26, is because they went into that game in the opener and they sent Jarrett Boykin to that side of the field because Richard Sherman famously did not travel.
Correct. He stayed on that side of the field.
He stayed on his one side. And so poor Jarrett Boykin is just keep running your routes all day. Just keep him occupied. And we are going to ignore that half of the field. And they went into that game in the NFC Championship game, and they were the exact opposite. They did not. Yeah. They were fearless. And so that was terrible. But Clayton Tune, who I don't think is – I don't think he's on a roster right now unless I missed it. They ruined that poor child.
How could someone, after what happened in Minnesota, how could someone in good conscience put him
But they sent him out there with, like, Strolf. And we've seen Strolf run the three cone. Like, those are the people he was out there with.
He is, according to Wikipedia, he is currently playing for the Columbus Aviators. He was with the Columbus Aviators, and he was released by the Columbus Aviators. So when you're released in the UFL, I think that might be it.
Clayton, no!
As for the current situation, have the Packers given a vote of confidence to Desmond Ridder saying, yeah, we really like this guy, here's what we think we can do, or have they just kind of allowed him to fly under the radar since signing him?
They have not committed that way. And by the way, here's the irony of ironies. Clayton Toon beat out Desmond Ridder for the backup job behind Kyler Murray in Arizona. I don't know what that tells us. Maybe it just tells us that Arizona is not very good at evaluating players either. But that is an interesting twist on this entire story. Look, I don't think it would be smart for them. They've got Kyle McCord, who they're intrigued by. Obviously, they brought in Kyron Drones to be the quarterback at the rookie camp that kicks off today. I don't think they're going to come out and say, yeah, Desmond's our guy. But they've answered a bunch of questions. I wrote about it the other day, and both Goody and LaFleur talked about him specifically. But no, they have not said, we think this guy can be Malik. They have definitely not said that.
Jason, what did you take away from the details of the Jaden Reed extension?
Yeah, they got a bargain. That's what I took away from that. And as much as, even, correct me if I'm wrong, but at those numbers, even noted, I don't want to call him a hater, noted Gabe Neitzel, Jaden Reed questioner, skeptic, that'll work, would agree, Gabe, tell me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. that at that price he was worth keeping.
So his cap hit in 2026 is 6.8. Next year it's 10.9. 2028, 17.6. 2029, 17.3. That's a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
If he stays healthy, and even if he doesn't even improve, Jason, on the numbers he put up his first 2 years, like, yeah, that's what those numbers go for in 20, you know, in today's NFL.
Yeah, yep.
Jason, one thing not Packer related. What is the tag Pittsburgh put on Rodgers? What's the protection there? I've never heard of that.
The tag is something I'd never heard of. But I saw Art Rooney II was on. The insiders with Judy Batista and Tom Pelissero. And his explanation was simply that, you know, they told Rodgers they were doing it. And secondly, it's basically that if Rodgers were to decide to play somewhere else, they could actually get like a comp pick for him. I don't think they would make, you know, especially since their former coach, Mike Tomlin, famously said, I want volunteers, not hostages. I don't think that they would say, no, you're playing for us. If for some reason he chose to play, but not for them. I think it was purely a strategic move of, if he does choose to play somewhere else, hey, we can get a cheap pick for nothing, right? We'll let him go. We won't match the offer, but we'll, by having the right of first refusal and then him signing somewhere else, we can get a compensatory pick for him. That was the way Art Rooney II explained it, at least.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again very soon.
As in tomorrow. All right, everybody, take care.
Very, very soon.
If you've been putting off replacing your windows and doors, now is the time, because Pella of Wisconsin is offering 0% interest financing all the way until 2030. That's right, 0% interest until 2030. We know in Wisconsin, your home is going to take a beating year-round, but the right windows and doors can improve comfort, boost energy efficiency, and upgrade your home's look. I learned that with my front door I got last fall through Pella of Wisconsin. Pella's experts are going to help you find the perfect fit for your home and budget. With 0% interest until 2030, you can upgrade now, pay over time, without paying a dime in interest. So don't wait. Visit PellaWI.com.
That was a Mike McCarthy, by the way. I was doing the Wilde and Tausch very, very, didn't he say what, very, very frustrated or something like that? That's what Mike McCarthy says. All right. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
The Run for the Roses is coming to St. Kate, the Arts Hotel. Join St. Kate on Saturday, March, not March, ooh, we're past March. It's May 2nd for the Kentucky Derby Day in partnership with Woodford Reserve. Watch the race live, sip on specialty cocktails, including the classic mint julep, and dress to impress, because you know what? They got some contests on the card. Best hat and best dressed will win the contests. Admission is free. Or you can upgrade to a VIP ticket for $75. That includes exclusive food stations and two complimentary cocktails. Visit stkatearts.com to RSVP or grab your tickets. That is this Saturday, May 2nd at stkatearts.com. When I think of elite athletes like Micah Parsons, guys, returning from significant injury, I am always leery about the athlete's brain. Not so much the body. I fully believe Micah Parsons, Chew, is going to do all of the things. He's going to eat all the foods, everything that contributes to cellular regeneration to accelerate his recovery process. But your brain, the one that allows you to go out there every single Sunday slash Monday slash Saturday slash Thursday. You know, it's 2026 NFL.
Wednesday. Friday sometimes, occasionally Saturday.
The brain that allows you to go out and do that work is also the brain, Chew, that I worry is going to push him back into action earlier than he should. So the timeline right now for Micah Parsons is still beginning of the season and or 3-ish, 4 weeks into the season. I know that Micah Parsons as a competitor is going to want to be back on that field as quick as possible. He knows what the team has invested in him to be out there. And I worry about him rushing his recovery and then having a setback. Is that fair or should I give him the benefit of the doubt?
No, that's fair. With a guy like that, you know, who's going to want to get back sooner. It's a little bit like Giannis. They got to have to protect him from himself. And it's just certain injuries have that mental effect on you and other ones don't. Like if you got a bad shoulder, right, you don't really care. It just hurts, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ACL is like a hamstring. Coming back from a bad hamstring, you're afraid to hit that fifth gear because you're afraid it might blow out again. ACL's the same, especially the way he plays.
Oh, the torque he puts on it? Yeah.
Torque, leverage, balls to the wall. That takes a little bit to get over mentally. And I don't think they'll push him because the benchmarks that you have to get to in order to get back on the field today are so good. Like back in the day, we just had, it's called a Cybex machine. You ever go on that? Jen, when you had your ACL,
is that the constant the motion? Strength. Oh, no, sorry.
It measures the strength in your quad to your hamstring.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't have access to something
are
like that.
Equal, yeah.
Is when that the next step up? The next step up of PT?
Yeah, that's
insurance wouldn't cover
say,
that one.
Okay, you're good to go. I'm not worried about him coming back too quick. I'm just wondering. You know, because they gave Rashawn Gary every excuse in the world back then. Well, you know, he had ACL surgery, so we had to give him a year. It does take time. I don't think it takes as much time as when I played because they really specialized the surgery. But at his best, he was 100%. I'm just wondering how quickly he can get back to that 100%.
So, Gabe, I'm going to take it one step further and ask you, who then is responsible for being that governor?
Team doctor. New guy, right? Last year was Michael Ryan's first time, Dr. Ryan, so this is a little test for him. Like, I mean, Doc McKenzie had been there for, you know,
ever.
Since God was a
decades.
Boy, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, he was Chewy's doctor back in the day. So, but you knew the expectations that he had for guys, and, you know, he wasn't going to rush anyone back. Yeah, there are always going to be setbacks and things like that, as we saw with David Bakhtiari, but you're going to have a pretty good plan. Like, you knew you were going to have a good plan in place for that athlete. And I'm not saying that you don't with Dr. Ryan, but it's really, both with this and Tucker, right? And because both are coming back from ACLs, mm-hmm. You got to make sure that they stay to that. And because Tucker Kraft's probably somebody, especially if the Packers are waiting to see how the knee responds before offering him some sort of contract extension, you know, you got to make sure, hey, we got to take our time. There are steps to this. And the way that Micah was talking in the interview he gave to the Action Network, he is saying all of the right things that he knows he's, you know, in terms of this can be a mental grind. It all depends upon the attitude that you have when you're going into this. So it seems like he's in the right headspace and knows it's going to take time. And the reward is you finally get to play once again after a long journey back. And I think Micah also realizes it's probably not worth rushing back if you can't be the dominant player that you were because you came back a little too early. I think he does realize just kind of reading between the lines of some of the quotes, that yes, it's going to be best if I wait and don't try to rush this thing.
It's like different. It's different for, it's a lot different for a bigger guy as opposed to a smaller guy like a receiver, a DB, and it's different positionally because when you're, say, a guard, a lot of your movement is downhill. It's not laterally.
Mm-hmm.
Micah Parsons is everything, lateral, downhill, vertical. It's just he throws his body around recklessly, and that's why he's the player he is. That's why I'm more interested in, like, and you'll know how close he is to 100%. There'll be a point in the season where you go, okay.
There he is.
That's the Micah Parsons we know. And the same for Tucker Kraft, because Tucker Kraft, when you're a tight end, man, you got to put that foot in the ground and cut and all this
and
stuff.
And that's
it's
why
different.
These two guys, I'm right there with you, with these two guys, Chew, again, talking about other ACLs, like Christian Watson coming back. And yes, Christian needs that lateral movement. He needs to be able to cut and do those things. But I feel like because he's also not like dealing as much with other humans that he's trying to get around or block or do all the different things that the tight end and outside linebacker, I guess, is what
it's more
we're
congested.
Calling, right? Yeah. So I look more, at Tucker and I look at Micah more in the same bucket, and it's not even the same bucket as Christian was in last year because he's more, he's a smaller guy, and you know, the recovery is going to take a little bit longer than the guard you were talking about.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is kind of like that tweener where you've got to be able to operate in space, but then also operate in the traffic, and then while you're operating in traffic, how much is that going to affect you when somebody falls down and they just kind of go at your knee and... There's a lot more things that are going to be factored into that.
A lot of Christian's game is vertical.
100%.
That's his strength, you know.
And when I think about Micah Parsons, Chew, when I picture him, right, and a film reel rolls through my brain, I see his body bending, right?
It's you that, don't see him straight
it's,
up.
It's that image of him trying to get around the offensive line on a pass rush. It's that image of him bending his body in such a dramatic form, dipping his shoulder to get under, and that's what I see, and that's what you were talking about, that torque and that pressure that it's going to put on that knee joint.
Yeah, and then you add the pressure of an offensive line trying to stop him, you know? That's a big guy trying to stop you, putting your weight on him as you're turning that corner with all that torque on the knee, which is, you know, what they may do early is they may not move him, you know?
Okay.
They may not move. Which knee was it? Do you guys know? Was it his right or his left?
I'm trying to.
Good question. Stand by. Let me see if I can find that information.
I think it was his left, if I'm picturing the way he was hobbling in that game correctly.
Okay, because if it's his left, there's less torque him playing on the left side because the torque is on your right knee.
Yeah, left knee.
As you turn that corner. Mm-hmm. It is a left knee?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they might not move him around that much. They might just get comfortable there.
I'm guessing, Chew, he's going to be on a pitch count when he comes back, too.
Oh,
so it's
going to
be kind of early. You know, like last year when they first acquired him, because he hadn't really gone through training camp because of everything that was going on with Dallas, and it took him a while to ramp up to start playing the full complement of snaps that he wants to play and he's used to playing. I'm guessing it's going to become something pretty similar. That whenever that first game back, he'll probably get a couple of, you know, pass rush, you know, opportunities on second down, maybe out there occasionally on first down. But I think they're probably going to go, hey, we need your snaps. If we have to limit this and we're ramping you up, it's going to be a lot of third down opportunities for
And
you.
Look, as we wrap this up, I want to be very clear. The NFL schedule comes out officially in 2 weeks, right? It's May 13th and May 14th. And then we'll have a really good idea of just how daunting, or maybe not daunting, the first few games of the season are, that first quarter, if you will, of the NFL season. And I'm not saying that that will have any impact. It should not have any impact on whether or not Micah Parsons comes back. But it will give us a better indication of how well the Packers can survive without him for that initial stretch. So again, I'm reserving my panic for let's wait and see what the schedule looks like, as we know that Micah Parsons will likely miss the first few games of the season. And let's see if this looks like these look like teams the Packers can beat without him.
Let's just hope they're mediocre offenses.
Fair.
Run the ball or, you know, don't throw the ball extremely well.
Yeah, I guess I'm hoping they don't have a lot of divisional games early. Because remember, I mean, last year that Lions game was pretty important right away to kick off the season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm hoping that they avoid those divisional games early. You know, but there's not a lot of, I mean, you maybe take on the Dolphins early. That's a home game where the offense isn't really going to be great.
Who are they playing, Gabe? The AFC East?
AFC South. Or excuse me, you're right, AFC East. So they have the Bills and Dolphins at home. They're on the road at the Patriots and Jets.
Keep the Bills out of there.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Keep the Bills out of there. You know, you're hoping that maybe the Jets and Saints are early games and maybe sprinkle in the Panthers or Dolphins in those early games and try to survive the best you can.
Again, the latest from Micah Parsons, who did an interview with Action Network this week, was talking about his severe knee injury, talking about how he feels he is ahead or on track to be there earlier in the season, but also talked about how he just finished learning how to walk, so he is about to learn how to run again very soon. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Be right back after this.
Hey guys, remember the way you felt when you were 25? Those early morning workouts, they were a breeze. You had a drive that kicked in way before that first cup of coffee. But now fast forward to today. You feel like you're losing your edge? Might not be your age. It could be low testosterone. And that's what I thought. Getting older, waking up, doing a morning show instead of an afternoon show. No, it was low testosterone. And that's where my friends at Mantality came in. They start with a comprehensive 100-point blood panel to help get to the bottom of what's really going on. Then they build a personalized treatment plan using testosterone replacement therapy and targeted peptide therapy to help restore your energy, focus, and drive. In fact, 94% of men report renewed energy and focus within 60 days. Just so you know, this isn't some trendy new off-the-shelf solution of the month. Mantality is all about real medicine. And while they can't actually make you 25 again, Mantality can get you back to feeling like the guy you used to be. So schedule that appointment. See if it is low testosterone with Mantality. LowTUSA.com. Again, the website, LowTUSA.com.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
For 70 years, Geis has been the trusted garage door authority in Wisconsin. It's true. With brands like CHI and LiftMaster, they have doors for every budget. They'll even build custom designs to meet your exact needs. Do not let a busted garage door get you down. Call my friends at Geis today. Go to geisdoors.com. That's GEISdoors.com. GEISdoors.com. Don't think twice. Call Geis. We're going to talk about your Milwaukee Brewers in the second hour of the show. But I want to talk quickly about how the Milwaukee Brewers are giving back to the city of Milwaukee. Did you guys see this story about how the Brewers have donated a chunk of money to the city of Milwaukee to help them fix the flipping potholes? It is an epidemic out there. Chew, I know you haven't driven around Milwaukee lately, but I'm afraid I'm going to fall in some of these potholes as I drive around the city of Milwaukee. Will, weren't you saying you had a bad experience recently as you were navigating?
They fixed the potholes on my drive home, but on my drive to work, there's like four where I'm nearly on the sidewalk. Ooh. Or God bless anyone in the bike lane. Hopefully they're not there.
Well, that's what if you're going on Jackson, if you're going south on Jackson, which I drive like from my house to like just get on the highway, like you're hoping somebody's not in the right lane, because the middle lane, it is just pothole after pothole. And if somebody happens to be in the right lane, you're just hoping your tire doesn't explode.
And there's no worse way to start your day than just hitting a massive pothole and hitting your head on the ceiling of your car. Like nothing, we're up early. Nothing angers me more than that.
What car are you in?
Well, wait,
it's a smaller car. They're so big where I'm like getting ejected from my seat.
Are they waiting or do they just don't fix them?
There's just so many. You can't get to them all. This is the worst coming out of winter that I can remember being in Milwaukee. They're just all over the place. It's insane.
Here's what you do. As a road scholar, you go out and get some cold pack. You really don't have to do anything more. And then just fill it yourself.
I'm not filling the potholes.
Have you been on Jackson? Have you seen what is this, Ghostbusters 2? I'm just gonna go out and start fixing my own stuff. Like Jackson,
I'm going to Jackson.
Jackson's an incredibly busy street in the middle of the day. And what, you just want me to run out there between cars to fill the pothole?
What's the metal part of the tire called? Like the inner, the like hubcap? right?
Yeah, the wheel. What?
Yeah,
the hub.
Oh, so the hubcap goes on the outside.
I forget where it is, but I saw a story. I think it was on,
like,
you know,
rim?
Yeah, on the news.
Hold on.
Where there was,
you
just
have a car with a hubcap? What year is
no,
it? 78?
Chewy, it's not the point. I was saying,
I did see a hubcap rolling down the road the other day
because
somebody hit a pothole.
On the news, there's,
I did see it. Like, wait, where did that come from?
I saw somebody was complaining to the city because, like, all the hubcaps or whatever were piling up in this person's front yard from people running over the pothole in front of their house, and it would just fall off their car into the guy's front yard.
Well, and that's the thing. When you hit a pothole, do you or do you not hold your breath for the next, like, 6 seconds after you hit it, hoping that you didn't crack an axle, or hoping, you know, that the suspension isn't blown, or hoping that, like, I hit one yesterday, and I was like, oh, my God, please, 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 please. You know, you don't want your tire to pop. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, and then you're like, okay, survived that one. Now we got to brace ourselves for the next one. So the Brewers have donated this money to the city of Milwaukee, and I love how they are, like, tagging their improvements, right? Gabe, what did you see?
Oh,
they've
got a Brewers logo stencil, so then they just pussed out the white spray paint and they marked the fixed pothole with a Brewers logo.
We did this. We took care of this, right? So you know what we're saying, Chew? They throw a stencil over the pothole that the Brewers money has contributed
cool.
to fixing, and they're like, I mean, it's fantastic marketing.
Fantastic.
Just got to fix some of the potholes in their lineup.
Why'd you have to do that?
Is that bad?
Why'd you
I thought it was good.
We were having so much fun talking about how the Brewers.
I mean, is it a good pop? Yeah. Do I want to talk about that? We'll know.
I'm just thinking after a bad offensive night.
Gabe?
Yes?
Go fix the pothole in front of your house and just paint Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Well, he's got to get some money from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Maybe so that revenue from the YouTube stream.
Send me a check, pal.
Also, why do I have a feeling that Will's pop is going to show up on a short in a few days on ESPN Milwaukee. He's like, content, Jen. I'm making content here. We'll be right back after this.